You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I do not know this man well enough yet to say publicly that I love him, but I will tell you all that I love his work. Roy Wood Jr. has tours coming up in Portland, Los Angeles, Tampa, tour stops, Indiana, St. Louis, Chicago. If you want tickets, roywoodjr.com is where you go. It is nice to see you again, Roy. What brings you by? Because I know you love sports. Is it because it's such a giant day, the draft day? Is it what makes you sports intensive on today?
You know, Dan, we need to talk a little bit about the draft, where teams lie to their fan bases and give them hope, and make you hang all of your hopes and dreams and disappointments in life on the shoulders of a young man coming out of a lot of NIL money. And I know we want to believe that this draft is going to be the thing that is going to change the lives of your team. I'm here to tell you it's not, especially if the team changed uniforms. I'm here with stats. Since everybody wants to gamble and everybody wants to decide how to spend their money every season gambling on stuff, I'm going to give you one sure bet for this year for the NFL. It is my gift to you and your fans. This is the stuff I couldn't do on The Daily Show. This is why I left The Daily Show. I said, hey, can we do a sports gambling football draft segment? And they said no. And I said, go get Jon Stewart then.
You're going to give us a sure bet? You're going to give it. You're promising the people. You're daring to be bold enough to promise.
Let's not get in the lawsuit land. I ain't say promise. I said I will. You know, maybe we should work on the name. A semi-sure bet.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that bet. All right. Semi-sure bet.
But you're doing it with data. You're not gasbagging. See, you like facts. You're somebody, you don't, a lot of people have opinions.
Yeah.
But you like your stuff backed by facts.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got a couple of teams. I'll move fast through this because we got a lot of data to break down, but I'm pretty sure I'm right on this one. More often than not, I had a belief that NFL teams only change their uniforms when they've had a terrible season.
Oh, wow.
And it is a way to reinvigorate the fan base. It is a way to get people to buy merch again, the same way the Dolphins tricked me when they changed from that, the logo, the sperm whale. That's not a dolphin. Whatever that is on the helmet now, it's not a dolphin.
I don't
love Tua. I'm happy the team's competitive. But bring back the dolphin with the helmet on. Why does this dolphin have no helmet on, Dan Le Batard? He's going to get a concussion.
You're so right about this. Put it back on. Put it on the poll, Juju, at Le Batard Show. Bring back the dolphin with the helmet on it. Yes or no? Mike says no. Wait a minute. What do you mean no?
Because it becomes helmet inception. The dolphin's wearing a helmet that the team doesn't actually wear. So you have a dolphin and a helmet on a dolphin helmet on a dolphin helmet. It's kind of like the Baltimore Orioles logo, where the Oriole wearing a hat is a logo, but the hat that the Oriole is wearing isn't the logo or hat that they wear.
This is fair. This is very fair. But my point is, I believe that teams psychologically have to figure out a way to reinvigorate the fan base. The draft is one part of it, but the league has also figured out now, if we change the clothes, then maybe you'll think the team is different. But shout out to Matt, and shout out to all the stat nerds that you have on your staff, Le Batard. Pulled up some stats for you over the last 20 years. Over the last 20 years, there have been 23 NFL franchises that have made some alteration to either their logo or the actual color scheme or uniform pattern, and also Commanders, because racism, we even threw that in. Okay. So out of those 23 teams, I want you to just give me a wild guess of how many teams had a winning season after changing their uniform.
Well, I'm assuming, since you're coming on with big data, I'm assuming that it's very, very high. But in order to help you, I'm going to say 2.
6.
I'm bad at the game.
23 uniform changes. 23 uniform changes. Only 6 teams saw a winning record the following season after the uniform change. It is chronic how terrible teams are after a uniform change. 2020, Chargers, Patriots, Washington Racisms, all 7-9 after the uniform change.
So it doesn't work.
Losing to... It doesn't work. Like, it jinxes. Like, there's just something about wearing that old shirt, that old jersey, that old thing. You feel competitive in it. It takes a year to adjust. We hadn't even had time to do the adjustments for Major League Baseball and what the hell is going on with the little tykes, with the, you know,
we can all don't have time. We can all see their junk.
So, well, I hadn't been looking at that yet, but also I'm a Cubs fan. It's cold, so it retracts, so you can't, you know, they don't drop till July in Wrigley. 2013 was another one. Dolphins with the sperm whale went 8-8 the next season. Jaguars with 2-14 changed the logo, went 4-12. Attaboy. You want to know what happened to your Vikings fans? 2013, 10-6, changed the uniform next year. 5-10, stop messing with the logo. Only winning teams, the only teams with winning records after changing their logo, 2018 Titans, 2017, the Rams and Lions both got winning records, Seahawks and Colts in 2012. That's it. Oh, and the Bengals. The Bengals went 4-11 in 21, and old Joe Burrow slid into town and took him 10-7 the following year.
That helps, right? We can change the logo, and if we make the quarterback Joe Burrow, that's helpful.
Yes, that's probably the only way. So 23 teams, only 6 had winning records, which brings me to this year's football jersey changes for the upcoming 2024 season.
Oh, wow. So you're saying bet the under here on victories based on your big data, right?
And now we're into the semi-sure bet from Roy Wood Jr.
Excellent.
And Le Batard.
Excellent. Your
semi-sure bet for 2024. Broncos, Jets, Texans, Lions, all bet them under 500.
The Texans and the Lions.
Texans. Wow.
I like CJ Stroud too. I know they just had a free agent big pickup. I know they got some stuff going on in the mix over there. Good for them. I'm just telling you what the last 20 years of data says, which is that 3/4 of the teams are going to eat it.
Houston and Detroit are good though, Roy. That seems that they seem like they'll test your theory.
Okay, yeah, they were good. So were the Patriots after 2020 when they were 12-4. Changed the logo, 7-9.
Well, but wait a minute. Something happened there other than just the logo change.
We're not going to talk about him retiring. That had nothing to do. This is all. This is a semi-sure bet, Dan Levitard. You will not poke holes in this theory.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It wasn't a hole I was trying to poke in it. I just, okay, the quarterback also seems to, it also seems to be kind of important. But you're saying that this is a marketing ploy in general. You feel like you've proven, you feel like you've unmasked the NFL on this their big day. You can't fool us with your hopeful lies just by changing the colors or taking the helmet off a dolphin.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that it doesn't work. I'm just saying the team's not going to be good. I own three sperm whale jerseys, so let's not get it twisted. I even bought a Jay Cutler. Look, I'm down bad as a Dolphins fan, bro.
They hurt you last year, didn't they? They hurt you. You had hope for last year.
Yeah, we had a backslide in December, but, you know, you're a Dolphins fan. You're used to something weird happening once the temperature drops below whatever the hell. So, I think we come back next year. I think we'll be fine. I have no idea what our needs are in the draft. I am curious to see if the Patriots trade down and go into, like, an official rebuild year and just let Mac Jones hold the fort down for a little bit.
Well, he's been traded to Jacksonville, so he's going to be holding the fort down over there, probably.
I've been watching baseball. This is the first day that I've checked in.
It's all
on
right.
Football. I was too busy watching Caitlin Clark. I didn't have time to keep up with your off-season moves.
Kick, save, and a beaut.
It's fair. It's fair commentary. He's got shows coming up in Portland, Los Angeles, Tampa, Indiana, St. Louis, and Chicago. Get tickets at RoyWoodJr.com. Any thoughts on Reggie Bush getting back his Heisman?
Good. And put him back in the Heisman House commercial immediately. Give the man the chance. If I was Reggie, I'd take that Heisman Trophy and go outside and spike it or pawn it immediately.
That would be good on social, huh? If he took it, nah, I don't want it anymore, and just broke it.
Yeah, but that's the ultimate disrespect. So, you know, good for him. I'm glad that we're actually trying to retroactive. It's like it's the closest the Reggie Bush Heisman fiasco is the closest we have in sports to, like, the retroactive marijuana laws where they let people out of jail. Now, like, hey, man, sorry about that weed arrest. It's a different world out here now. Here's your trophy back, bro.
I think you've got a good idea, though, there on countering the disrespect that they did to him and his achievements by countering it by just destroying this trophy once he gets it back.
I think the NCAA knows the truth. None of this is going to matter in 10 years when we have a full-fledged college, minor league, NFL, G League, XFL system that's owned by The Rock.
RoyWoodJr.com is where you go. It's good seeing you again. Don't be a stranger. We want to see you soon, all right?
Broncos, Jets, Texans, Lions, all under 500. Lock it up for sure.
Love you, brother.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. Especially in Miami, we know that it gets very, very hot. You go outside for 6 seconds, you're sweating, and you're possibly dehydrated. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Guys, I love Liquid IV. I get the sugar-free lemon-lime version. They should have my picture on it. How much I drink it, how much I use it, the sugar-free has no bad stuff, only good stuff. I use it when I go to the gym, when I'm playing hoops, when I'm going out on the boat, mix it in with a little bit of ice, keeps me hydrated all day long. Just tear, pour, and live more With one stick of Liquid IV plus 16 ounces of water, hydrates better than with water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code DAN, D-A-N, at liquidiv.com.
Don Levitard.
Where the motherfucker Ruiz at? Bring his ass on here.
Where's the motherfucker Ruiz is a great question.
Stugatz.
Running, huh? He running today, huh? I'm ready.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
It's a sports equinox. Every sport is happening, even American football. We got the UFL, Battlehawks, Defenders. So things on other sides of the sports spectrum may be falling by the wayside. And I want to make sure that we highlight these other sports, particularly tennis. Mm. Okay? Now, it's not super sexy right now. We don't have a major going on. We're ramping up for Roland Garros. But I saw a video that I submit to you and our audience as the most French shit you'd ever see.
I did try, Corentin. I told you. I can't get it myself.
Africa, I saw them like they even do it on tennis TV. They put that they ask for a coffee. You can't bring me a coffee because what? I'm playing on foot court? Tell me.
It doesn't matter where we play. It doesn't matter where we play.
Give me a right reason.
We don't provide coffee.
Can I go take a coffee then?
We don't provide coffee.
Why you don't provide coffee? You provide bananas, you provide like Coca-Cola, you provide like Sprite.
Time.
Am I asking for caviar or something like this?
Corentin, I told you the decision. We need to play now.
And that's the problem.
You provide bananas is a wonderful sentence to yell at management.
He was like, I'm not asking for caviar. Just give me a freaking coffee.
So Jess has done some research and found that this tennis player in particular has made requests in the past, and he's kind of a bit of a character. I will say that makes for a bad victim in this place because he's kind of right. I have talked to, and I know you've gone at some folks with this, anonymous former pro tennis players, and he should have coffee. His point about you guys provide bananas and water and electrolytes, they usually provided coffee.
We provide coffee.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things I love about Formula One is if you walk through the paddock, you see a bunch of fancy espresso machines in the Ferrari section. Mm. They provide coffee.
I've got to be honest about this, though. If you make me think of tennis, I generally think of it as something that is coffee-free. That a tennis player isn't going to want the dehydrating aspects of coffee while he's playing. I understand perhaps the needing of caffeine, but when I think of tennis players, you might as well tell me provide cigarettes, because it seems to run counter to what they're doing out there to have your body dehydrated by coffee.
Well, he probably asked for cigarettes too.
That would make it the most French thing ever.
It's not like they don't lack for things to replenish the dehydration that coffee might bring. The tennis players are coffee fiends, but like I said, it's not the first thing he's stepped into. Jess, you reached in to the internet and you dug
Who
out
is
some
he?
Things.
Moutet.
Yeah, Corentin Moutet.
I love the way Mike says it. He's a tennis player from France, and he called Tsitsipas's dad stupid, I guess, a couple of years ago for talking while he was serving. And he also asked for a Pepsi once during a match. I'm not sure if coffee is dehydrating. I've read conflicting reports on it because it does contain a lot of water. And he wasn't asking for espresso. He's asking for, I assume, I mean, he must be espresso. He's French. I don't know, Dan. I mean, a coffee would be a great thing to have before a tennis match. You're just on your feet. You're faster. You're thinking quicker. It makes you awake. It makes you feel alive. Why wouldn't you want a coffee before a tennis match?
I thought it was dehydrating. And the reason I thought it was dehydrating is because I passed out on a sidewalk. I told you guys this story. Oddly enough, this was funny for a number of different reasons, but I'm coming to it was at that point the scariest moment of my wife's life, okay? Because I'm sitting outside on a sidewalk cafe in the middle of the afternoon, and I'm staring at my wife, and next thing you know, I'm waking up with paramedics around me. because I've just passed out. And that morning, I had sprinted on the beach with Billy Gill doing the recreation of the Rocky scene. Because the paramedics were asking me in my haze, like they were trying to go through, well, what happened here? Why do you think you passed out? And I'm like, I do not know. And they're like, did you exert yourself a great deal earlier in the day? And I'm like, well, yes, actually. I did sprints out of nowhere on the beach, like dozens of sprints on the beach.
You also grabbed his butthole in that video.
Ooh, I think it's a culo. Yeah, my bad.
So it was the sprinting, not the coffee.
No, but then I asked them, or they asked me some more questions in my haze, and they asked me if I had had enough water, and I said no. And then they asked me, how much coffee have you had today? And I'm like, too much. And so they said, yes, coffee dehydrates. Again, when I think of tennis players, if you were to say to me, hey, tennis players, now I know that they drink coffee in the lounges and in the clubhouse and everywhere else, but if you told me next to the court, I would have guessed no on that one. I would have just guessed no.
I drink coffee when I'm playing every sport, really, when I'm doing every workout, before I go for a run, before I go to work. I mean, it's a good thing to have around. Damn, it's just a really good thing to have.
But you think science says that is conflicted about this? So put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Is coffee dehydrating? At Lebatard Show.
I do know that tennis players pound coffee like you wouldn't believe. It's weird. It's one of their things.
If you Google just, is coffee dehydrating? The first thing that comes up from GoodRx says it actually might be hydrating for some people because it contains so much water. So I guess this depends. If, like Jess said, if you're drinking espresso, maybe not. But if you're just drinking a cup of coffee, it could be hydrating.
Combination
for you.
Because you can get the shakes from coffee, especially if you're a little bit more dehydrated.
What do you guys do with this stat? Juju, this one's going to hurt you. I don't know if you, maybe you felt this, but I don't know if you know it numerically. This is from excommunicado Tim Reynolds. The Celtics at home in the regular season since May 1st, 2022, 69-13. The Celtics at home in the playoffs since May 1st of 2022, 10-13. At home in the playoffs. This is one of the best home teams we have ever seen. To see that game never really get close, to see Miami have a punch for every punch that Boston was throwing, and then, and this part's interesting, right? I don't know that it means anything because a lot of series happen 1-1 at the beginning and then the better team wins in five or six games. But when you start combining something that could be felt on your television in that game, which is, oh, they're missing all of their shots, and that place has gotten awfully quiet, unusually quiet for what that place is historically and for the bravado and all the chest of the regular season. Oh, wow, when the shots are not falling like that, and you realize the growing force of there's Bam getting confidence against our Porzingis in the middle, and our Porzingis doesn't look like he's looked all season and also hasn't been here the last 4 years the way Bam's been blocking Tatum's shot at the rim since the bubble.
You say this in front of a screen that is looping Celtics fans leaving the arena early, and if I must say something right now, it's I always found that kind of whack. Because I'm a South Florida sports fan, and I've often been at the receiving end of national pundits. Sometimes, you know, it's worth having the conversation over. Sometimes it's a gotcha thing, and it's super effective because it gets under every fan's skin. And I've literally forced myself to stay in my seat for blowouts, so I'm not a contributor to these memes. You understand? Like, I totally get it. It's a school night. Why should I watch the final 30 seconds? But I remind myself, I gotta watch the final 30 seconds because the Boston version of Will Manso is going to loop this behind Dan Lebatard.
The thing about this that I have always found really amusing, and I think the people listening to this probably can't step back from it quite enough to find it amusing. The idea of getting hurt, wounded, rabid, and defensive because you're not enough of a fan of something is one of the funniest things that you will find in sports that doesn't have a place anywhere else as an insult. It's not an insult to say that you're 98% a good fan, but what you have to do to be a really better fan is sit there and support your team when you're disgusted with it.
And sit in traffic, you punk.
That's right. Go home late and deal with all your... You went to
I ain't cheating.
You went to this place to get away from all of your problems, to have it make you feel better about things. You use it as your escape, and then you dare to leave your seat 30 seconds early because you don't want to get stuck in traffic with Chris Cody fighting about your morals with somebody because you try to get out of traffic a little early. And what do people seize on with great judgment? You're inadequate in the way that you care. The way that you care, and not just the way that you care, the way that you care about the way a basketball bounces with other human beings that doesn't involve you touching the basketball in any way. You don't care about that enough. And you're like, I do. I care about it unreasonably. It's a part of my identity. I wear another adult man's jersey with his name on my back because I want his identity so much. What do you mean I don't care? You don't care enough. You left early because your team was down and you're disgusted with it.
Man.
I'd say the fans who left early care more than the others who sat there in their own filth. The other ones want to be like, no, I came here for my escape. Porzingis, you didn't give it to me. I'm leaving disgust. I don't trust what I'm going to say around you. I've got to leave.
I always heard that. If you don't have nothing positive to say, leave the game early.
I will say, beating traffic is awesome. Like when you're at a crowded arena and you're just out of there, you're cruising out of there like 10 minutes before the rush. Oh.
You just got a Jessica eye roll right now.
There's just something about it, though. Jess, come on. You've left early. Come on.
Fans.
You've done it. Come on.
I don't know if I've ever left early.
Oh, come on.
Seriously.
Bull honky.
If I'm paying for a... What?
Bull honky?
I didn't want to curse.
If I'm paying for a ticket, I better soak in every minute of that game. Oh, yeah. That's my money. Oh, yeah. I'm not leaving early. That costs $5, those 30 seconds.
Is this because Gracie's here?
It is awkward today. A lot of cursing in this place.
Bring your kid to work day. You know how Jalen Hurts... had his background for a full year, just him watching the celebration of the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. That's how I now approach forcing myself to sit in these seats when I feel bad. I just take the Jalen Hurts mentality of remember this. Remember that we didn't kneel. Remember that that wasn't a fumble. Remember that you kicked over this water bottle tower that your daughter built in your luxury box. Yep. Because when we come back, you're going to remember these low points.
You didn't remember it when you left the UNC Miami game early, though.
Oh, hey, too soon.
I had to get to somewhere. There was a flight. I had to get to L.A.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I had to get to L.A. and Chapel Hill. That's a weird town to grab an Uber in. Yeah.
Can we examine for a second just the idea of this, though? Because I know it is a way to judge other fan bases. I don't know that there's a fan base that gets hit with it more. Go ahead and tell me all the fan bases that get hit more with a lack of caring than the Miami Heat's fan base, which, again, has sold out its arena since 2010, the sixth longest streak in NBA history. It's something that sticks to Miami fans, even though it's something that everyone does. And I would just ask the group of you, why do you have to stay somewhere you no longer want to be in order to prove to somebody on the internet that you are the fan you think you are, that person doesn't think you are?
You know, Dan, that would be a bar if you weren't actually making the problem worse right now by sitting in front of a monitor that is looping that behavior.
Mocking it because those are the very people that do that to Miami. Boston will tell you that it's fan allegiance, that it's a regional pride and a cultural identity. Unlike any in sports, you were brushing your teeth in a brush off with Celtics legend Paul Pierce yesterday.
My brush was three times the size of his, for the record.
A brush off is something we need to get Feldman on a toothpaste sponsor so that Paul Pierce takes brushing his teeth.
I mean, like, when your teeth are that expensive, you have to brush them constantly. With those porcelain chompers of his, I'd be brushing nonstop too.
What was the move there by Paul? Was it just like, I don't want these people to think I think they're important, so I'm just going to do this wall brushing? Like, I don't know. Is that like a thing he does regularly, or was that...
It's a power move.
...to disrespect us a little? I was confused. It was cool. I liked it.
It was cool, and like some people were sending me clips of him talking his shit while it was happening. And my first thought was, man, that's a boss move. I need to find a bigger toothbrush.
I did not have Paul Pierce as a prop comic, but we can put up on the screen. You've put up on the screen the brush off between Paul Pierce and Mike Ryan. I did think it was unusual, and I didn't feel like I was being shoved around in my own home. But now that you pointed out him coming in casually brushing his teeth, I've been criticized in public areas for putting lotion on my skin. That's something to be done privately. I've been criticized for using a Q-tip emerging from the bathroom. People say these are things that are to be done privately. I am someone who has blind spots in this area. This is not something I would ever do on television. Arrive so casually that I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure if my teeth are clean enough. I'm not even caring that you've already started. I'm going to brush my teeth while you ask me questions. But this is a person who has spent a lifetime answering questions about his professional work while nude. So he's living in a different, the locker room space is vastly different than the rest of your workplaces.
Yeah, I feel like most people are worried about debris if they're doing this in front of a camera.
I'm happy that you stopped lotioning your skin while we were having conversations, because that's like peak Bond villain behavior.
I didn't know it was weird until you guys pointed it out to me that putting lotion on your skin in front of people was something that was villainous. But now that I think about it, I would love a movie villain
that puts the lotion on its skin.
Slowly, very slowly, though, sinisterly.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Why do you got? What else is it in this realm? The Q-tips. These are the two places I feel what it is that you guys are talking about.
You're also a big toothpick guy, but that one's just more socially acceptable. Yeah. But you had a crazy cinnamon toothpick phase.
I did love. I do love cinnamon toothpicks and flavored toothpicks. But that is different. Although that I don't even know culturally what they'll give you some of those in restaurants sometimes.
Culturally, like Razor Ramon made that a thing, so it's totally socially acceptable down here in South Florida.
I got one. If your underwear gets caught in your behind in public, brother, you got to walk around the corner and get that out. Free advice.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Don Levitard.
I think I would have been on his side. Yeah. I would have looked at you like, what did you say?
Nah, I'm Chris. Telling you, me and my friend, the rest of the way home, cheaters all we kept prosper. Saying was, I ain't cheating.
Stugatz.
It's like,
I think
you
he got
that?
Your ass. I think he got your ass.
I got his
way.
Ass.
Chris won this one for sure. Not pathetic.
Your ally, Jeremy.
Ally.
It was great.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. I'd love a new segment, Juju's Free Advice, at Levitard Show. If you're having to pick a wedgie, do you need to do that in private as a courtesy to others? And also put on the poll, at Levitard Show, is it weird to put lotion on your skin in front of others? Because everyone's good with it at the beach, right? Suntan lotion and all that, that's the acceptable place. Do you also think that internationally, Mike, what it is that you're saying is so on all of these things, whether it's lotion, whether it's a Q-tip, whether it's brushing your teeth in public, you think all cultures are uniform in saying Dan is weird doing that in front of people?
No matter where you are. I think if you have a conversation with someone in the United Kingdom and you're lotioning yourself up, they're going to turn a corner, maybe not even say it out loud, but in their head, they're going to be a bit weird, isn't it?
The Kid Marrow's about to be here in a moment. Perhaps we will ask him for some help in legislating a few of these things. Are you guys interested at all in this Tom Brady roast hosted live by Netflix by Kevin Hart? Netflix is obviously trying to do some different things in the streaming age. I don't know what's being reported, but I assume that Amazon is going to get some basketball stuff. I assume that we're going to see a seismic upheaval of how how basketball does business in its next contract with its partners.
There is a real chance that Turner does not get the NBA package. Dang. And it's like so synonymous. They built their entire network around it. I imagine if I'm one of these other streamers that ends up getting one of these NBA packages, because if you're the NBA, despite the arrow not pointing up, you got everybody you could possibly want in this game in terms of stalking horses. If Amazon just has to build NBA coverage out of nowhere, just buy Turner's coverage and just move it from one network to another. But yeah, there's a real legit shot that inside the NBA as we know it may not exist.
I will say something. Chris Cody, can you get the imaging, please, that warns people so that they could skip this, that I am talking about some stuff here that is inside media that has to do with ratings and how it is that sports are bolstered by their partners, because all of this to me is fascinating, what it is that's going to change here, and what you presently see happening throughout hockey. All of the road teams won last night in hockey, and hockey ratings are up. ESPN, I will tell you from inside the bowels of ESPN, having already seen it once, when ESPN supported hockey a long time ago, it was obvious in their coverage, and it was then obvious in their ratings. When ESPN supported baseball with its package, it was obvious in their coverage, and it was obvious in their ratings. And now, as you watch what is happening at specifically ESPN, where the people there who are around baseball are hurt by how little the network seems to care about baseball, those resources and that interest is being poured into hockey. It is being poured into Pat McAfee's show. Pat McAfee cares deeply about hockey, and you see it in the numbers and the ratings.
Do you get annoyed every time Dan Levitard pontificates about the sports media industry? Well, too bad, motherfucker. He knows he don't give a damn about Sports Media Talk Today.
I think the correlation is actually indisputable because we've lived long enough to watch it happen on the network. Hockey did not matter at ESPN. It did not matter nationally. It mattered internationally, but did not matter in the United States. You've seen it with baseball, and now you're seeing it with hockey again. These are great hockey playoffs. ESPN is celebrating them, and you see the numbers going up in a way that make Jessica yawn enormously.
Well, hockey's presentation was a built and set template, and it left ESPN. It went to First Versus, which rebranded as NBC Sports, and the sport really suffered. It suffered because of a couple reasons. Multiple lockouts, one postseason erased because of a lockout, and because there wasn't they were on an over-the-top cable channel, but there wasn't really good shoulder programming dedicated to it. It was a niche product with very little mainstream exposure. And hockey players were always presented as not really super engaging. Back when you were growing up in the media game, Dan, they weren't necessarily recognized as good talkers. But now, because of social media, because the players generationally changing, they're about this. They're engaging. They're engaging media companies like Barstool giving main channel attention to hockey, leaning into a bit of bro culture that's always been associated with hockey. It makes it seem like a cool sport. Pat McAfee, I'm glad that you shouted him out. Him just platforming the NHL makes it seem cooler, and it just gets a conversation going. These social clips, I'm sure that Bobrovsky save was a massive social clip. All that stuff helps, and it's not really anything that existed with this sport prior to. As you mentioned, the ratings are up. They're not just up a little bit. These are gargantuan increases when it comes to this sport. It's absolutely having a moment.
Roy, Mike Ryan came in today and proclaimed something that I found shocking to hear, given that I'm going to say 18 months ago, Bobrovsky was one of the more frustrating players who had ever come through South Florida for people who care like you and Chris Cody and Mike Ryan about hockey. Mike Ryan is now claiming that Bobrovsky's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, he's won two Vezina trophies, but 18 months ago, he wasn't playing up to the contract that the Panthers signed him to. And then all of a sudden, Stanley Cup final, and now where he is right now, yes, he's played up to his contract, and yes, he could be in the Hall of Fame.
I can't believe what you're saying, though.
Yeah, there's a couple factors as to how this turned around. First off, you got to give credit first and foremost to the player, Sergei Bobrovsky. But also the Florida Panthers kind of realize how to manage this player, and it's something to keep an eye on here in the postseason. I'm very much subscribed to, you play a guy till he gives you a reason to not play him. That's the NHL playoffs. But Bob's minutes were managed in ways this year that allowed for Florida to have the second best goals against average with their goaltenders right now. Solar's giving Bobrovsky the occasional breather has really helped manage that man's minutes. And you're seeing right now with Winnipeg and Hellebuck, a guy that played a ton, he's all of a sudden struggling. He's by head and shoulders going to be the Vezina winner, and he's given up double-digit goals here against the Colorado Avalanche, who are a very good team in their own respect.
You also have to give credit to Bill Zito for the team that you put in front of Bob, because they are stout defensively, especially 5-on-5 and even strength.
Jessica, what is that you are trying to put atop, that pink thing in your right hand that you're trying to put atop the Mountain Dew Mountain?
A fan sent Willow a cupcake. Thank you.
Fan mailed you something for...
That's extremely thoughtful.
No, it was actually addressed to Willow.
Okay, so Willow... Willow to have it? Received mail here?
She did. It is gluten-free. Can confirm.
I believe that if we open the portal to the audience mailing Willow gifts, I think you're going to have a whole lot of gifts for Willow. And there go all of the cans in the other room.
Mike is a saboteur.
Who ordered the Code Red?
Oh, was that distracting while you were on the air? My bad.
Jeremy, go sit in the penalty box again for pulling back the curtain on something that was supposed
Willow
to be.
Willow has a Venmo too, by the way. Private. It's my Venmo.
Go!
What Mike mentioned about the change in hockey players and public-facing hockey players, it's not just a change in athletes being more comfortable talking freely. Foreigners often have difficulty in their second language showing the range of their personality. And as I sit here, having seen Bobrovsky change from Hall of Fame, from guy you were mocking to Hall of Famer, I would have made the argument at any point that I'd like to hear from Bobrovsky on how that happened in English. I'd like to interview him on what it felt like to doubt and be bad and to now be back to Hall of Fame form. And I don't feel that if I sat for an hour with Bobrovsky doing an English language interview that I would be able to get the full force of his humanity or personality.
Goalies are also odd. In every sport, you kind of have to be a psycho to play that, and sometimes it just doesn't translate for several reasons. English could be your first language, and you're not necessarily the most giving when it comes to an interview. Like, Bob was interviewed about the bobbery that they've started making shirts over, and it wasn't really anything interesting. But I would love to give credit, once again, inside the Borsal family, Spittin' Chiclets. I think it's a huge deal. They have Pink Whitney, which is a very popular drink. These guys are cool, and they bring on other hockey players, and they give them this relaxed platform. And not only that, but one of the co-hosts is on TNT's studio coverage, and TNT, who found the formula with their NBA side, just replicated it on the NHL side. Biz is a really interesting character. He's great with the studio show. I think that platform, Spittin' Chiclets, has really elevated the sport because it's turned a lot of people onto it because it's undeniably a cool show.
Yeah, Paul Bissonnette and Ryan Whitney and RA, they do a good job on that show. That show is 3 hours long, and they do it like multiple times a week. But you're not going to get anything out of Bob. You're absolutely not going to get anything out of Bob. He's low. He has a low voice. He's soft-spoken. He's too humble to be talking about
that. Well, you got something out of him when you went up to the All-Star game.
Yeah, I got a minute and a half out of him.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.